Yeah. Oh, well, welcome to the Tin Biscuit Podcast, and today we've got a new guest, that is...
Camellia Akami-Keys, and my son, Julian.
Hello, Julian, and thanks for coming on. The reason I got you on is because I've seen you on Instagram, and you play the drums.
Yes, that's true.
And I've been playing since I was 10, now I'm like 41. Oh. So I thought this would be a good podcast because I actually know about a subject.
Okay,
and
cool.
I speak to someone who knows about a subject as well. So like, what got you into drumming then in the first place?
I first saw drums being played at church and I was about 5 years old. And I knew almost immediately, I was like, that's what I want to do. I was like, that's my voice. You know, it's just like you see an instrument and you're like, that is just too cool. So that was kind of my start. And that's when I got into it. I was five.
So where did you go from there? Did you just get a pair of sticks, start practicing on a pillow or a duvet? Or did you get a rubber practice pad? Or did you go for lessons? Or how did you go about learning?
So the first thing I did was, you know, as a five-year-old, it's like, all right, I need to let my parents know, you know. All right, so I went to my parents and I'm like, I want to play drums. And they're like, you don't know how to play drums. And so it was just like, yeah, I know. But I was like, you know, if I would learn and I would be really dedicated. So I think, you know, they got me some practice pad. They got a practice pad, sticks, kind of started off like that. They didn't go out and just get a full-blown drum set.
Yeah.
And until I was about 13. But my elementary school, by the time I was like 7 or 8 years old, I was in band and I was lucky enough to have like music programs within my school, even though I was in like elementary school. So I was just always involved in anything music related, especially dealing with drums and percussion.
So you started in sort of like a marching band then, did you?
It was kind of like a concert band. So it would be more like symphonic. So I could have a part that's triangle or
right.
A tambourine. And, you know, there's flutes and trumpets, and so more
of you started more on the percussion side of it then,
yes.
And then got into the drum side of things.
Yes, exactly.
It's because when I started, I got taught the theory as well, but I got a pair of sticks, and I got one of them rubber practice pads. I've got a thin bit of rubber, then a thick bit of rubber in sort of the middle, and my first lesson was... Right. Just like crotchets, left, then, right. But it seems boring now, but it was so invaluable back then to where I am now.
Yeah,
to just know, I mean, I'm not great, like theory-wise, maybe grade two, like sort of at a very push. But playing-wise, I'm better. But without that back theory of just that right, left. And then he introduced the bass drum. Then it was right, bum, bum, left. Then sort of repeat.
Yeah.
And then rudiments and like sort of things like that. So what sort of stage are you at on theory? Can you read?
Yes.
Yeah.
So my reading kind of started when I was in elementary school, and they would give you like quarter notes, so then you kind of have an introduction to like basic notation, basic notes. And from there I kind of hit a wall, kind of just going to band class and not taking lessons. So by the time I was in high school, I started taking lessons with a guy named Miles Overton, and he really kind of like all of the missing pieces that I was like trying to self-teach or learn in band, he kind of just put them all together. So we really like worked on reading and rudiments and drum set and mallet percussion, and really just kind of went really deep into music and percussion. And that's what prepared me to go into the military band. So I was
all
in
right.
the band for 6 years.
Oh, wow. Because, like, I did have a mate. I've still got a mate. But he was taught very robotically.
Uh-huh.
And one thing I've seen with you is you've, like, got the feel. I've seen drummers that are really good and good with notation, but they just ain't got that feel to go with it.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's one thing you have got. So what sort of music did you start listening to get yourself into drumming? Have you got any favourite drummers or...
Yeah, I have my favorite drummer. It's always kind of changing and evolving. Steve Gadd.
Yeah.
With Nate Smith.
With like Paul Simon, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Just, you know, just the Dennis Chambers, Dave Weckl. You know, like
Dave Weckl, yeah.
Yeah, the guys that are just like, they have a signature playing. You hear them playing, you're just like, that's Dave Weckl. And you look at the recording, it's like, oh, yeah, if you hear something
on the radio. Dave Weckl.
Yeah, it's just such a signature sound.
I went to see Dennis Chambers at a drum clinic when he came in to the UK.
Nice.
So my first drum clinic was because I started listening to Guns N' Roses and Iron Maiden when I was about 9, so it was like Nico McBrain, Steven Adler. But then as I, because I've got an older brother that plays guitar, and he got into like Steve I and all that sort of lot. So then I started studying their drummers. So Mike Mangini, Terry Bozzio, and then William Calhoun from Living Colour. And one thing that put me off going to these drum clinics, especially with Terry Bozzio, was it just blew my mind. It was so complicated. And people like that are so good. And like, you've got Mike Mangini, and I tell you, the fastest double bass pedal drummer I've seen was the guy who plays with Paul Weller.
Ah.
He was super fast, and like, he gave a tip about shadowing, so he, like I said, if you do a double stroke roll on the top kit, repeat it on, like, and he was so fast.
Yeah, a clean, I bet, too.
Yeah.
Clean and fast.
But people like that are like, just, they're just at a different level.
Oh, yeah. Exactly, totally.
But bringing back to my point that Nico McBrain's not very good through theory, and he like openly admits that, but his groove and his stuff with Iron Maiden is so good. I mean, I know he's got a fast foot and it's all triplets and that, but then went to see him, and then Dennis Chambers and Chuck Sabo. I went to see Chuck Sabo. I don't know if you've, and Akira Jimbo as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's, Akira Jimbo is one of my favorites. I remember when I first discovered him, I was probably like maybe 13 or 14. And I was like, my mind was just blown. Like, how?
Yeah. How?
Just amazing.
Yeah, because he's got it all linked up. So when like he hit something, it played like a few bars. And his bass was his bass drum was the bass guitar.
Yeah.
And then I listened to Living Colour, Dan Reed Network, and all bands like that. And it's like, then like you're there and you're trying to do a double stroke roll. It's like, bet, 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 and like they're like a single stroke roll. Because like I only mainly use single stroke and maybe a paradiddle, or I'm like half a paradiddle, which is left, right, right. And apart from that, I don't really know any other rudiments. I'll probably play him, but not knowing I like playing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
but
it was really, really getting into rudiments, and that's what I apply to drum set. Really, is like you mentioned paradiddle, but the like drag rudiments and Rademikus, the three different types of Rademikus, the drag rudiments. Like that's the kind of stuff that I'll listen to music and I'll start like, oh, you know what? I can get a Rademiku in there. You know, you just kind of like combine rhythm with like rudiments, you know.
Yeah, I find it hard to put theory with feel, because like if I think about doing something, I can't really flow. Do you know what I mean? Because it's in the constant, like you've got that you've like got that inner metronome, then you've got to, you know, do things like that. So going back to the drummers you was into, is there any specific music that you got into that you was listening to, or was it just a mixture?
Well, I remember I was really big into like Drummer World before YouTube got big, and I would just go and just sit and watch like drummers, you know? So I was just like not necessarily having to like listen to the band, but just really immersing myself in the sound of the drums. And then even if I was listening to, you know, jazz or gospel or any type of genre, I would just be really tuning into the sound of the drums. So, and from there, so any band in particular? I mean, like I like Journey, Rush. You know,
Rush is good.
Gospel. I like gospel. I like jazz. I like Latin. So as time progressed, I've kind of gotten into different styles of music, and then kind of getting into African rhythms and stuff like that. My dad is from Nigeria. So
oh, right.
So getting into stuff like that and, you know, just exploring that stuff and then still being able to come back to, like, you know, straight, like, play some Journey tunes. Like, when I was in the Navy, we used to play, like, Don't Stop Believing was, like, it's a signature Navy band tune. You know, it's, like, very encouraging. But then we also play, like, Bruno Mars. We'll play Taylor Swift. So that just being completely, like, anything on the books, any type of music.
I think that's, like, the way to go, that if you do get into an instrument, try and broaden your horizon from classical to, like, sort of Cannibal Corpse and, like, things like that, because everything's different, but just because the drummer plays in a certain style, it don't mean it's no good. You said about Latin, I always found polyrhythms difficult.
Mm-hmm.
to sort of the dink. I like still can't get my head around them.
I
just like the 4/4 beats, but
it's difficult. And you know, getting into salsa and stuff like that, you know, it's because there's 6, 7, 8 percussionists, one person just dedicated to that, like that boom 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 boom. And then someone's doing that. Someone's dedicated to just the cowbell. And then, you know, you're on a gig and someone's like, oh, this tune is going to be a Latin feel. And you're just like, okay, you know, Latin, you know, what that means.
Yeah.
So, but it's kind of interesting because to work on that stuff, I really had to listen and pick out a key point. All right, I'm going to just get this kick drum part now. Boom, yeah. Boom. Boom, boom. Or if it's a samba, and work on that. And then after I get that to the point where it's like second nature, I can talk, I can think about that beat and still be doing something else. Like, I don't have to think about it. Then you can layer something on top of it.
Put something else on.
Yeah, because, like, and then I'll start, you know, doing rudiments on top of that and, like, kind of modulating the feel of it where it's, like, it's not too rudimental. It has a nice feel where it's kind of flowing within the groove. So,
yeah, that's exactly the way I do it. I tried to work out Rosanna from sort of Toto, because that's
Yeah.
I mean, Jeff Beccaro was he was unreal.
Uh-huh.
And he did that from, like, was it a Bo Diddley beat? Uh-huh. And he did it and he sort of did it like that. But Dennis Chambers was saying a story that he stood in for him, Jeff Beccaro, when he played Rosanna.
Wow.
And he was, that's like saying about the story, that he sort of modded it up a bit.
Yeah.
And it's like stuff like that where he just goes and plays it, because, like, Rosanna's not an easy beat to play, to be fair.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's just stuff like that. You were saying about Latin and African and that. Mm-hmm. I am starting to play the tablas, but I had to sort of relearn everything because their timing's different to, like, sort of like Western. Mm-hmm. So when you went into that sort of, you say, the Nigerian feeling, like Latin and samba, you have to reprogram your brain from 4/4 to different counting times?
Yeah, you have to get into like 6, 6, 9. These, like, not traditional 4/4 time signatures. And then I kind of wanted to be experimental, and I'm like, how can I put this in an odd time feel? Put this in a 5 or a 7. And so you got, like, in a 7, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, of a samba on top of a 1 2 3 1 2 1 2 1 2 3, or you can go 1 2 1 2 3 1 2 1 2 3, you know, like, so just the emphasis in a 7 and then putting that African or Latin type of feel on it can, like, just open you up to,
it changes everything, doesn't it?
Yeah. So now I'm like, I'm basically, I get to the point where I listen to something and I just try to pull from it. I don't try to get too deep into it because I want to make it my own. Yeah. So that's kind of where I'm at. And I'll just kind of put my style on it.
So you say your style's changed from there. What about your drum setup? Because I've seen you like did a video not so long back, and you had your baby on you, and you used the brush stick things, and you did a song with someone else, and you had like a travel set. And it was outside.
Okay.
It was the little travel set. It was like the small sort of electronic sounding snare drum. Uh-huh. I think it was a Timer or Ludwig bass drum, and you had the little hi hat there.
Uh-huh.
And that was a really solid dead good groove you did there.
Yeah, that's. Was I playing with someone else?
No, you was. I think you was in your garden. I think it was only a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, a couple of weeks ago. Okay. Okay. Yeah, so that was a song. It's called Lay Your Head on Me. I think that's the one you're talking about. Was there music playing in the background?
Yes.
Yes, yes. So that was a song I was invited to do for a big production, official music video for Major Lazer. And so they combined people, dancers, and musicians from all over the world.
All right.
That was filmed within the last, everyone filmed it within the last like 3 weeks or so. But that's what I was doing. But that feel like, is this a little bit different? But yeah, just being able to listen to something and see how I can fit into the music without like overplaying, you know, that's always my goal.
So. Has your drum setup changed? Because I'm like, when I was 9, I saw Big Country drummers, drum kit. I don't know, have you ever seen Big Country? Mark Bizanek, I think that's what his name is.
I've never seen him.
Right, well, so check him out, they're called Big Country. And like, he had the all the octave drums, and he had a massive drum kit, and Nico McBrain with the big drums, and I was like, wow, big drum kits, that's the way I want to go. But now I've reverted to just maybe snare, hi-hat, bass, and really weird simple sounding cymbals, like dead quick splashes, and like, so it's good to see how I've progressed. But how has your kit changed from when you started out to where you are now?
Yeah, so my first kit was a five-piece, like a normal five-piece, and then I was just like, you know, watching drummers like Dennis Chambers.
Yeah.
He was like, I gotta expand this. So I just started like, next thing I know, I had like a 7-piece kit, you know, like mount toms, 2-floor toms, cymbals just everywhere, cowbells, wood blocks. And so that was like, I was right there too. I just wanted to surround myself, like have swivel. And next thing you know, you're playing drums there. And so that was like my high school kind of middle school setup. And as I joined the military, and I would notice like sometimes we're in Hong Kong, we're in the Philippines, because I was stationed in Japan for 3 years traveled all over Southeast Asia playing music. And sometimes, you know, you don't have the room, or the venue doesn't have the equipment or the sound production to mic or to elevate a whole drum set or a bass. So it would be like, all right, we're going in with a cajon and a hi-hat. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, you got to make it work. So
you have got to think on your feet.
yeah, so it's just like stuff like that kind of just really changes your perspective on like, oh, I don't really need a whole drum set. I can make it work with, you know, this and this and this. So that was kind of my experience with that. And then I started really filming myself with this kind of cajon, hi-hat, small micro snare set up when I was in, I was living in Texas, and my husband and I were living in a studio apartment, and we did not have room to set up a kit, but we had a garage, and it was like 100 degrees. And I was like, I don't care, I'm setting up some fans and I'm going to go play. But we had like stuff all over because we were moving from a house and we were in transition. So I was like, you know what? I can't get a full kick drum in here. I can get a cajon. Maybe I can get like some electronic drums, like Roland, Roland pad, SPDSX, and maybe a hi-hat and a cymbal. And I started recording myself doing that. And I think I recorded a video and it went viral over the course of like a day. And like, people were like, this is awesome. And I'm like, wow, cool.
That's wicked, like, isn't it?
Yeah, it was like people were really digging it, and I was like, well, you know, I was just kind of, you know, trying to make something work, but you know, you put it on social media and you could really see it kind of develop, or if people like it. And so I've just kind of just been growing with that whole idea. And a lot of people ask me about the setup with the cajon and how you attach the kick pedal, and yeah, there's various different ways to do it, but yeah, I've kind of just made it my own, and yeah, I'm kind of rolling with it.
It's pretty cool. I was going to say, the cajon's basically like just a drum set now, into it. I've seen people from just sat on it to mm-hmm. getting the foot up it and sliding it down to change the pitch, to using uh-huh. the side, to using mm-hmm. the sticks, to putting a bass pedal to it. Mm-hmm. Then it just opens everything up.
Yeah. It's really amazing. And to see, and then the companies too. The companies are really keeping up. And before I became a minor artist, so now I play minor percussion and minor cymbals. But prior to that, a lot of smaller companies would reach out to me and be like, hey, you want to demo this product? Hey, can you try this out? This is my idea. And I would just be like, sure, you know, like send it over. So I was like, really, really cool to be able to try some of the newest people's ideas and their products and their percussion. So
what drums do you use? If you use minor cymbals, what drums? Because I was a big lover of Sabian.
Yeah.
I mean, I did have a few Zildjian. I had a Dark Crash, then I had a Megabell Z-Ride, the one that William Calhoun used in like Living Colour. So it was a big, fat, heavy ride cymbal. And the bell was like a big whoop. It was like a massive hill, but it was so nice. You like could hit that bell with the side of the stick and it ring for ages. And I used Premier. I've used Tama before. I've had a Pearl. What drums do you use now?
I'm using Tama, but I'm not an artist with anyone yet. I want to play Tama, but I guess I'm open to other options. But right now, I have a Tama kit. I was playing Ludwig for a little bit. I played Mapex for a bit, and I've had a DW, a PDP. So I've had several kits and stuff. But right now I'm playing a lot of. That little kit I have right here is a, you can see it, it's a Tama.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, tiny little one.
Oh, that's wicked. The bass drum's really thin, isn't it, on that? How, like, sort of thin is that? Is that a 20 by 12 or something?
Oh, man, I wish I remember. Let me look it up really quick. Let me see. It's called the... what is it called? The Club Jam Mini. So they have the Club Jam, and then they have the Club Jam Mini. And I was really, I just liked how tiny the kick, how thin the kick drum was.
Yeah, it's really cool, man.
Let's get the size of it.
Have you, a drummer I've just like recently got into is Jojo Mayer, who plays with Nerve.
Oh, yeah, he's amazing.
And a guy called Andy Gangadine is like a UK drummer, and I first came across him because he played live with one of the Spice Girls tours, and he played with the Lighthouse Family, but he now plays with Chase and Status, and like sort of like he's into all the sort of like Apollo 440, all like drum and bass and dance on them, like sort of like a proper drum kit. is like pretty cool. But some of the cymbals that are coming out now sound dead electronic. They don't sound like a normal cymbal would sound. It's quick, splashy, then you put cymbals within cymbals, so everything's mm-hmm. opening up. Mm-hmm. Have you tried any of that sort of
I really just took all the limitations off, like this is proper, this isn't proper. Yes. Now I'm gonna do whatever I want. So I'm taking splashes and I'm using them as hi-hats, and I've mixed cymbals, like, and people are like, they're here, they're like, man, what is that? And I'm like, it's a hi-hat combined with the crash cymbal, and just, it's random, but, you know, you just kind of, you're like, hold on, I could put this with this, and it'll get, like, this sound, and it's just, it's what you want to do.
I like, bought a cheap china from, we had a drum shop from where I'm from. We haven't got any music shops now. We've, got one, but obviously it's shut due to what's going on. But we did have a drum shop, and I bought a cheap china, and like someone drilled holes in it, or it could have been made like that, but it had rivets in. There's some like, well, so you could take the rivets out, or if you put the rivets in, hit it, it would create a sound that would last like nearly 10 minutes, just keeps on going and going and going.
Yeah, because of the sizzle of the
rivets.
Yeah, man. That's awesome. I love that stuff. I love just creating, you know,
yes.
the sounds that come from people's ideas. It's just really amazing, you know, just like insight into what they're thinking.
It is, yeah. I've like sort of never thought about putting two splashes together and like doing your own hi-hats. It's so simple, but you never think of it, do you?
Yeah, because you're like, oh, it's a splash. I'm not supposed to use it as a hi-hat. And it's just like, why not?
Yeah, well, yeah, there's no limitations. It's like sort of, is that, just back to the gear you use, what sort of sticks do you use? Because I used to use Vic Firth 5As.
I use Vic Firth and... Oh. Yeah, I use Vic Firth. I also use these sticks made by Croker Percussion. They're a newer company, but they make really nice rods, the best rods I've ever used.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, so you may have seen them in my videos. Like, they're green, and they don't break.
I did wonder where you got the... Yeah, because like the sort of ProMark hot rods I used to break, but then again, that's probably me hitting them too hard, to be fair.
Through so many pairs of the ProMark that I'll play maybe a day or two and they're expensive. They're like $20.
Yeah, they are.
For you guys, but it's expensive.
Have you ever used them head sticks, black with the white tip where that's supposed to be?
Yes. Cause when I was younger, I was always breaking stick. I had like just a pile of sticks, and you know, I was like, you know what, I need to find sticks that don't break too easily, and I found the head ones. They're like I guess like acrylic maybe,
yeah, but
they kind of change the sound because it's not wood.
They do. They don't. I've used the 5A. The like first person I saw use them was like Matt Sorum when he played, I think it was 92, like sort of gig in Paris, and I thought, what sticks is he using? Then they finally came over here, and I got some Matt Sorum signature ones,
uh-huh.
and I just couldn't do it. I got some 5As, and I just couldn't get on with them. Like, we just...
Yeah.
No, I just can't get on with them.
Yeah, no. It's aggressive sound. It really changes the sound of the cymbals, and it just, everything changes, because it's not wood that you're playing with. It's a different type of material.
It's like got... Is it aluminium, then you've got the shaft covering, you put that over, then you put your small nylon tip on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that kept coming loose anyway, and like, I've never been a big lover of nylon tips.
Yeah, me either. I like wood. Wood's the best. You know,
get
that sound, that earthy, you know, something that comes from the earth.
Yeah, definitely. So, what sort of music are you listening to now, then? What's on your playlist? That's the minute.
Right now I'm kind of listening to, like, I really like Nate Smith and mm-hmm. like Corey Wong, like some of these newer guys that are really coming up, like they're just amazing guitar players, or a Wolfpack. Have you heard of Wolfpack? They're like,
no,
yeah, just like this really funky, like rhythmic guitar. And so that's kind of what I've been kind of vibing with. Like Michael Jackson, of course, is always on my playlist, just because it's timeless, you know, and you could learn so much, like just from like listening to like 8 Bars Away. It's like, man, there's so much going on underneath, and it's really cool to do. Like, you can see the influence of so many musicians out there that, you know, that have listened to them, or you can just tell, like, oh, yeah, he was influenced by Michael Jackson. You know?
You can say what you want about Michael Jackson,
yeah.
but you're never going to get a performer. There's some, like, people like him and Elvis Presley, and like people like there's Madonna. But I mean, I know you get a cheap version, which is Lady Gaga, which sort of, she's just the cheap wannabe Madonna. But you won't find performers like Elvis, Madonna, obviously Michael Jackson. You just won't find them anymore. Tina Turner's another one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those like and I still listen to them, because they're like Tower of Power. Like, those bands, those groups are like, they're timeless.
Yeah.
And that's And that's, and as I start working on my own music and start trying to write stuff, like I go to what they're doing as like an example, not necessarily some of the music that's out right now. I'm like, you know, yeah, it's cool, you know, but it's like,
yeah,
I'll go a little further back.
I mean, like, sort of now we're in lockdown in like the UK, you're allowed to go out and exercise. So I've been putting on my plug, just going out cycling, and I've got like sort of Steve I, Passion and Warfare on. Mm-hmm. Who else? I've got Guns N' Roses on. Who else have I got? I've got Dave. I've got Dave Matthews Band, which is what's his second name? Carter Buffalo. And like, I've just keep watching him, and he's just unreal. He's just, he's so unfair, because like, you'll never get that good, but like, he plays open-handed, don't like sort mm-hmm. of done it, like set across. So
yeah,
it's always good to go back to the original old timers, because mm-hmm. they're the people that have got it. I don't think I'm up to date with any new drummers that have come out. I'm like always the old faithful, like sort of Living Colour, Guns N' Roses, Iron Maiden, Dave Matthews Band, Steve I, Joe Satriani, people like that. Supertramp. I mean, have you heard of Supertramp? That's like an English 80s band.
Okay, I'll have to check them out. Supertramp?
Tramp, yeah.
Okay.
Supertramp. Supertramp.
Okay.
So cool. That was just like a normal 70s, 80s sort of like 4-4, but really good. Just like proper musicians. A bit like Toto. Not as good as technically. Because they were all sort of studio musicians, weren't the Toto? And like the sort of formed the band from it.
Yeah.
So like sort of things like that. So what are some of your plans next then? Are you just like practicing all the time in the like sort of lockdown or...
Yeah, I'm working. I've been doing collaborations with a lot of musicians. So people send me stuff. Hey, can you play on this? You know, so I've been listening to music and, you know, I feel more connected now than I, you know, did before. It's kind of weird because people are like, hey, like for you example, reaching out, like, hey, let's chat. Let's do a podcast. I'm like, sure. And someone's like, hey, you play drums? And sure. And so it's just a lot of playing on people's music. I'm playing on my own music and, mm-hmm. and sending stuff out for people to help me work on. I just released a song last week called Universal Love. It's kind of like a meditation type of vibe where it kind of like gets you into like just being happy and grateful and like, oh man, love. It's everything's love, you know.
I think people need that now.
Yeah, totally. That's why, my idea was to take it to the studio, and then this whole thing happened. It's just like, you know what? I'm going to send it to my friend who lives in Pensacola, Florida, Sean, and he did the mixing and mastering for me. So I recorded it here and sent it to him, and next thing I know, it's out, you know? So it's like...
That's nice.
Yeah, it's just, it's really easy to make anything you want to do. Music, podcast, clothes, you know? You don't even need to really... always have to like interact face to face.
No, that's true. So is this your main job then? Is this what you do, drumming, or have you do what else?
Julian is sleeping. Yeah, this is my main job. So as I was in the military for 6 years, I came out and I went to school for digital media and web technology. So I studied art. How to do mm-hmm. art on a computer, essentially, and designing stuff. So that was kind of my degree, and that's what I've been utilizing to kind of break into YouTube and Facebook and Instagram. But my longer, big-term goal is to, you know, be able to share music and eventually open a drum therapy type of school, and I'll have all my revenue, I'll have all my income coming from music.
That's brilliant.
In all shapes and forms. So... yeah, I've last year I was on tour, so I had Julian 2 months. After two months after I had Julian, I went on tour. I went on a world tour, but it was like it was kind of sparse to the point where I would go away for 2-3 days, max 5 days, mm-hmm. and then back. So the first gig I had with them was in Spain. I had a week prior to learn the music, and and the next thing I know, I'm hopping on a plane and going
a week.
Yeah.
Blindly, how did that work? Because I'm like, sometimes you get really good musicians and really good people, but you just don't gel.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. And I don't know, we all the girls, it was an all-girl band that they put together for this artist named Boyka. She's from, she is from Spain, but her family is originally from Equatorial Guinea, so from West Africa. But yeah, they just put us together, and we just, it was just like that vibe was there, that musical connection was there, which is rare, because when I was in the Navy, sometimes, you know, like almost every like 3 or 4 months, musicians are rotating. So there's some people are going back to U.S., some people are coming over to Japan. Like, people are constantly moving, so the dynamic of the band is constantly changing. So, like, how do you get tight? How do you get into a real good groove? Or maybe you just are clashing with someone personality-wise, and now that's affecting the sound of the music. So it was really a blessing to meet those girls and to instantly click. It was just like, we knew each other for years.
I was gonna say it's hard when I'm like, you do jam with people, or like you do get in a band and you know they're good and you know you can hold your own, but there's just not something there that's gelling. But then you can work with someone and it's just, you've got the same feel, they know where you're coming from, and vice versa, and it all fits in to place. But as like you said, that's like pretty rare, but you know, if it works, it works, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, when it works out, it's really great.
So, sorry, go on.
No, I was just saying it's just really great when it works out, because it's just, you know, it just makes the music that much better. Yeah. So, like, your friends on stage and off stage, it's amazing.
Yeah, so. and it sort of makes you feel better as well, doesn't it? So, if people wanted to find you, I'm going to ask another question. Any tips for beginners? What's some sort of your, say, 5 top tips for like people who like been playing for a couple of months, a year, or just thinking of starting the drums? Is there any 5 must-haves or must-dos you think's a necessity to do in like drumming?
I would say definitely dig in on the rudiments, like the paradiddle, double stroke roll, single stroke roll. Whether you're like marching or drum set, they go both ways. Mm-hmm. So like, and then practicing everything slow and really getting the muscle memory. Cause like you can see, like you look at your hand and you're like, oh man, why isn't this working? Why? Like I feel like I should be able to go faster, but it's just like that brain hand connection needs to happen. So like you do it slow, you build a muscle memory, and then you can go as fast as you want. But it's just like, you got to teach your body what your mind is trying to do.
It's all in the wrists, because I've seen a lot of drummers and they're doing that, and it's like it's like in the wrist, it's all from the wrist.
Yeah,
so wrist, that's things. Number so like rudiments, what else would you say to like sort of beginners that want to
for drum set, I would say work on your kick, because like a lot of people, you know, you can play a beat like a normal quarter note, 1, 2, 3, 4 on the hi-hat, 2 and 4 on the snare, and then 1 and 3 on the kick. But if you work your kick drum and teach your kick drum how to do like rudiments, like if you get a bass, do paradiddles with your feet.
Yeah.
Like it trained your feet to be as good as your hands.
Because you got your hi-hat pedal as well, haven't you?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's another thing. Like that's something that I'm kind of working on. I wish I would have started on it earlier. Is like, cause like my feet are good, but they could be so much better, you know? And it's just like, you work on your hands and you realize like, I really don't need my feet to do these types of grooves, but it would help. It would help if you have that, like that knowledge and how to do it. So that's my suggestion.
Do you like play double pedal or is it just single?
I have double. Yeah. I mess around with double too. Most of my videos, I'm using single, but especially since I'm using a cajon, I haven't really tried to hook a double pedal up to a cajon. Maybe that'll be my next video.
Try it. Yeah. I never get on with like a double pedal. It's always single. I mean, I've played in bands with them, but I just feel comfortable with the single because I know where I'm at, and that's it. So if people wanted to find you then, where could they sort of find you if I've, you know, Tell
yeah,
people.
I'm on. So my website is www.akhamie.com. So that's my website, Instagram, akhamie.music, akhamie.music, Facebook, akhamie, Twitter, akhamie, you know. So I'm basically, I'm on TikTok too, but, you know, not really doing too much on that yet.
What I'll do is, because I'm not on Facebook or I'm not on Twitter, I'm on Instagram, and like sort of that's it. What I'll do is I'll put your Instagram description in.
Okay.
And like people can find you, and you know, they'll be able to go from there, won't they?
Yeah, sounds great.
Excellent stuff. Well, thanks for taking the time for coming out and sorting out. It's been good. It's been fun to speak to someone I actually know something about and not doing any research on beforehand. You all take care, and this will be out Sunday, which will be today, because I go do it all. So it'll be either definitely today or tomorrow.
I'll tag you and my stories and stuff like that.
So. Oh, cool beans. Thank you. Yeah, brilliant stuff. Okay, so I'll stop the recording and then we'll, there you go.
All right, sounds great.
All right, cheers for coming in, and don't forget, for the other people who do listen to, like, share, and as I say, it's a free speech on an unedited podcast, so anyone's welcome to come on.
Okay, cool. So
that's some sort of one thing I've done it for. All right, well, cheers for coming in, and you take care throughout this lockdown.
Thank you. You too. I like your beard, by the way.
Oh, thank you very much.
See ya.
You take care. See you later. Bye-bye. Bye.
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 The Two Biscuits Podcast.